Bible is an amazing book of God's Word, and we're given information in God's Word that anticipates events and things that happen in our lives. I don't mean by that specific prophecies of certain events in our day and time, but of life as it is going to be. Not only in our time, but in almost any time of human history. That there are going to be times of unrest. There are going to be times of instability. Where things in a society that we live in presents a challenge to us of our faith to live as God would have us to. And we want to speak about that today from the book of 2 Timothy and talk about godly living in perilous times. And it seems today that we are living in those times where, you know, we have been blessed as living in America, a great nation, and our founding fathers had great wisdom, and they provided for stability of our freedoms through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And there is such a thing that we hear about here recently, the peaceful transition of power in as one election of administration leaves and another begins. And we can be thankful for that, to see the continuance and the stability of our nation. And yet we see that there's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of disunity in our nation today. And it seems that everyone has their own opinion, and people become upset with one another, and they want to insist on their own way being followed. But we live in a nation of laws, and we can be thankful for that. But as Christians, we live in this society, and we are to belong to a citizenship of heaven as Christians, that our homeland of longing to be is in heaven. And we are pilgrims and strangers here upon this earth as we live in this world that we live in, and the nation that we live in. Still, we belong to something far, far longer lasting and eternal. But as we think about that, we always have to come to face the fact that we do live in the day and time that we live in. God brought us into existence through our birth at this particular time in history. And so we cannot ignore or deny the reality of the circumstances that we find ourselves. So the Apostle Paul wrote about this in this letter of 2 Timothy toward the end of his life. And he was concerned about Timothy as a young man and a young evangelist, and the church as Paul knew that he would be leaving this earth, and what would come about, what would happen to the Word of God and the people if he were to die and go to heaven. And so Paul is writing about those things here in 2 Timothy, and I believe that it speaks to us. It speaks a message to us today that we need to hear and be thinking of these principles that are given to us in God's Word. Certainly we know that wisdom speaks that a nation divided against itself, a house divided against itself, cannot stand. That a civilization cannot go on, deeply divided to one another and endure. It is important that we have a common strength of our society and our country. And as we live in that, we need a stability of our lives. And that is the most important thing for us to consider, is the basis of our own lives and our own faith in these troubling times that we live. Paul was thinking about those very things when he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're actually going to be beginning our study down toward the end of this chapter, but I want to look at the context as we introduce our thoughts. And so in chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "But know this, that in the last times, the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." As I read through those, the thing that strikes me is how many of those we see happening today, right in front of our eyes. And I'm sure that at any time that you might look back through history, all the way back to the first century, you would find maybe many of those things were true. When Paul says in the last days, we need to understand that biblically speaking, the last days is referring to this time in which Jesus Christ has come. And he has lived on the earth and died and gone to heaven. These are the last days. And that stretches all the way back to when the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter said that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Quoting from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. But as we look at our day and time, notice how many of these things are happening today. It seems that we could point to almost every single one of these as a characteristic of our own society today. And he says these are perilous times that we are living in when we see these things happening. Men are headstrong. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And there is brutality. We see that in the news almost daily. People going into shopping malls and shooting and knifing and killing people, innocent citizens. And in our own society, people are more materialistic minded than they are spiritually minded oftentimes. Well, the Apostle Paul had some things to say about this, because he says here in the next verse that these things even affect the church. They have a definite effect upon the church, because as we live in that surrounding way of life, that it filters into the lives of the Christians. So he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. What he is saying is that this is going to be a characteristic of religious people even. People who claim to be Christians are still going to behave this way many times, because it is happening in the society. And there are those who profess to be religious, maybe even to be Christian, and yet their lives are more like the world. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. You see, the power is that when you profess to be a Christian, the power is that you actually live that way of life that is pleasing to God. God does not pay much attention to people who claim to be Christians, but go and live their life as if it made no impact at all on how they live, and how they conduct themselves in their families, and how they conduct themselves on the job, and how they conduct themselves morally speaking when they're out among people of the world. That is a form of godliness, but it's all it is. There is no reality, there is no depth and no power to that way of claiming to be godly, but not actually being godly. So he says, from such people turn away. Avoid those kind of people. And beware of them, even some of them maybe showing up within the church. Led away by various lusts, learning and ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we see sometimes that very thing, that people will study their Bible and they study their Bible and they study and they hear lesson and lesson and lesson for years on end, and yet they never get the point. They never make the application. But he is giving us encouragement in this, in the fact that he is pointing to the fact that this way of life, when people live this way of life, that it ends up being exposed to be false sooner or later on its own. The emptiness of it, the sham of it, the unreality of it, it all comes out sooner or later. We used to say it all comes out in the wash. And so he says, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. You remember that Moses, when he went down into Egypt, and God called him from the burning bush, and Moses said, well, what will I say when I go down to the Pharaoh? I am not an eloquent speaker like my brother Aaron. And God said, well, I will give you a sign. And he said, if you put your hand in, and it will come out and it will be leprous. And he said, throw down your rod, and when it is thrown down, it will turn into a serpent. And then reach down and pick it up, and it will become a rod again. And so I will take care of that, God is saying. Well, Moses went down to Egypt, and sure enough, there were the magicians of Pharaoh that tried to duplicate whatever Moses would do. They said, well, we can do that. And he threw down his rod and it turned into a serpent, and they threw down their rod and it turned into a serpent. And that was Jannes and Jambres. So they were withstanding Moses. Moses was coming from God and he was presenting to the Pharaoh, let my people go. And they said, well, he is not from God. We can do the same thing. But then Moses picked up his, and it became a rod again, and they could not duplicate that. Some of those tricks that they thought Moses was doing turned out to be that they were not able to do those things. They were exposed sooner or later. Paul is saying the same thing is going to be with those today that resist the truth. Whether it be some with... For example, how often has it been that we heard this happening? Some TV evangelist, some ministry, it comes out that there is a moral scandal behind the scenes happening. They are not what they appear to be on TV. They do not actually live that way of life. It's for show. It's for the income, the money that they can bring. Not all, but there have been a fair number of those. But sooner or later, someone who is not living the Christian life in reality, it all comes out. And it becomes exposed. Someone is having an affair. They are not being faithful to their wife or to their husband. They think they are going to get away with it. They think that no one knows. But, sure enough, it all comes out. And it's very embarrassing. So, the encouragement to that is when we're living in those times that you live a godly life and you will have nothing to fear. You will be on solid ground. Those who do not, sooner or later, maybe it will be on the day of judgment. They will stand before the Lord. Lord, we knew You. We did all things in Your name. He said, I never knew You. Depart from Me, you that work iniquity. But there's an encouragement to that the truth will win out in the end. So live by the truth. That is the message. Follow the example of those who did live by the truth. Make those to be the example that we follow. He said, but you have carefully followed My doctrine and manner of life and purpose and faith and longsuffering and love and perseverance and persecutions and afflictions which happened to Me at Antioch and Iconium and Derbe and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered Me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Timothy, you did the right thing. You followed My example. And I will not be here much longer. But remember that example that I have lived. So he comes to the real heart of the message that he wants to give to Timothy here, beginning in verse 14. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, he's speaking to Timothy, a young man that he has known and has been working with from the time that he first met Timothy, as mentoring him, training him, helping him to grow up to be a faithful Christian and a faithful evangelist. And now it's coming a time that Paul will die, and Timothy will be there left without his figure to look to any longer. He has to be on his own. He tells him, he said, you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of. Those things that you learned from the Scriptures, from your mother and your grandmother and from Me. Just remember those things and you'll be fine. Don't go out after something else that someone new may introduce. You've been taught well. You know the truth. Stay firm in that truth, and you will be on good ground. Paul commented the fact of how he had learned this from his mother had taught him, and his grandmother when Timothy was a child, his mother and his grandmother were teaching him, and then he met Paul, and Paul has been teaching him for all these times. So it was a lesson for Timothy, but it is a lesson for us all to heed that advice, because we are in a similar situation. So to remain stable in a perilous times of a changing culture that we live in, the first thing that we need to have is the faith and the courage to remain in the things that we learned in the church and from our parents as we were growing up. We were blessed to have parents who taught us about Christ and taught us and took us to church and taught us from the Bible, and we learned those things as we were growing up. The question is, do we have the courage to stand in those when the world around us is going crazy? And people are advocating for the new morality, and they're advocating for all these different off-the-wall ideas as far as the way people are going to live and the way they're going to believe. You have to stay in the path. You have to stand for the things that you have known all along that are true and not deviate from them. And have the discipline to remain faithful and live your life that way. Remain faithful to God and remain pure in your life, in the face of all the pressure that the world brings to conform and just cave in and go along with what everyone else is doing. That's the challenge for Timothy. That's the challenge for us. still today, to sort out between what we hear and what we see in the media and on TV and the movies and around us, and say, no, there is one book. There is one book that has the truth, and there is one book that doesn't change, and we need to continue to study and know and live by this truth in our lives. Because that is where the answers are found. So Paul says, reminding Timothy of the origin of the Scriptures, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now there are two things here that is important for us to understand. One is how the Bible is inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God revealed it through His inspired men who wrote the Scriptures. And there is a process of divine inspiration, and a process that God... The word inspiration means God breathed. And it means literally that God, that these words came out from the mouth of God, and they were written down by those men that were moved along by the Holy Spirit. So the words that we read when we open God's Word, they are God speaking to us. And the very words of Scripture, we talk about verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration means the words of this Bible are word for word the words of God. It wasn't a paraphrase that God gave a generalized message and the writer just took and then put it down in his own words to the best that he could paraphrase that out for us. Inspiration was a word for word. Yes, God allowed the writer to express some of their own personality as seen and comes through in the writing of Scripture. When we're reading from Paul, he has a personality. And when we're writing from Matthew or Luke and so forth, we can see their personality is in there. But the words that they are writing are the words of God. Secondly, though, that we see that the Word is very practical. God's Word is very practical to your life. And that is the thing that is beautiful about the Scripture, is that it is profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, it is profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, the purpose of Scripture is that you would be equipped to go out and live a godly life. And that's the whole purpose of it. The purpose of Scripture is not just so that you can memorize a few verses and know the books of the Bible and have a head knowledge of biblical teaching. You know some of the stories of the Bible and things like that. No, the purpose is always that you will be equipped to stand up and be a faithful person in your life for good works. That you make a difference and you live a righteous life. And if you miss that point, you miss the whole thing. Because God's Word is practical and it is profitable and it is intended for a goal. And the goal is that you will be a servant of God, a humble servant of God, who lives your life as God directs you to live your life, different than the world. Totally different than the world. That allows us to live in perilous times and live godly lives. So the responsibility for Timothy is laid out in the next few verses here as an evangelist. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So that is Timothy's responsibility. And in many ways, that is the responsibility that each one of us has to follow that same mold in how we conduct our lives. He says, I charge you before God. That is the word that it be the same thing that is in a courtroom when you come up before the judge and the bailiff or the person that you take the oath. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And you affirm that and you make that pledge, I will tell the truth. And what this is saying is, Timothy, when you get up to teach God's word, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Because God's word is that important and that serious that you are not to add to it, you're not to take away from it. You're to teach God's word faithfully. And you'll be held responsible before God someday if you fail in that responsibility. Preach the word. God's word. That's what needs to be heard. Now, we live in a day and time is where there's many fads. Someone comes up with a new idea, and they start saying, now, if you do this, here's how you will get the crowds to come in. You know, we will get up, and we will have a puppet show. Instead of teaching God's word, we will actually have a puppet show. And the kids will love it, and the people will love it, and they will all come to hear it. So don't really teach the Bible. People don't want to hear the Bible. We need to have some kind of entertaining presentation. That is a fad. We need to avoid those fads, Paul is saying to Timothy. There's going to be people that no longer want to hear the truth. They do not want to hear sound doctrine. They squirm. If any sound doctrine is presented, they start squirming in their seat. They're not comfortable hearing sound teaching. Why? Because it convicts them. Shows them that they need to make changes in their life. They need to not do what they want to do. They need to do what God wants to do. Be obedient to the will of God. So it will make some people uncomfortable. And there will be those that will demand some other way of teaching. Some other message. Some other way that is more pleasing than this awful teaching that comes out of the Bible. We're so tired of hearing that. Give us something different. Paul is telling Timothy, no, you have to stay the course. Your job is to teach the word, preach the word, proclaim the word. And in doing that, you convince and you rebuke and you exhort. So, teaching the Bible is a personalized teaching. It's not that you can just get up and turn up the loudspeaker to 11 and be proclaiming, busting out the windows, here's what the Bible says. You have to take it and present it to people on an individual basis and make sure that they are getting it. And it has to be digested to them so that they can receive it and understand it in a loving way, because it is for their salvation. So sometimes, yes, it needs to be rebuke, and sometimes it needs to be convincing, but sometimes it needs to be exhortation with long-suffering and patience and teaching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So we each have a responsibility to God's Word. Living in a day and time when God's Word is being under attack and is being challenged by the philosophies of man. And we see so much disturbance. People go out and are marching up and down the streets and pounding on the pavement, and everybody is upset and they don't want to do what someone else thinks. And so what do we have? We have a society in chaos. There is one thing that will keep us on the solid ground. There has to be we have to have a basis to live our lives. There has to be a standard to uphold, to follow. And that will give us unity, that will give us hope, that will give us peace, that will give us stability in life that nothing else will give. The same thing that Timothy had been taught. Timothy was a blessed young man. His mother and his grandmother took that responsibility from the time he was a child. Continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That message has not changed, and that message is still powerful, and that message is still practical and profitable for each one of our lives. Do we have the courage to accept it? Do we have the wisdom to accept it? Are we willing to receive and make the application that we, like many others who have gone before, can set that example like the Apostle Paul set the example that he set? And sometimes he went to prison, and sometimes he was beaten, and sometimes he was opposed. And yet he set the example and he lived that life. Do we have the courage to live that life today? Because young people, they're growing up, they're seeing the examples, and there's other people who are watching, that we can have an influence in their lives if we live as we should live and are faithful to God. And someday we will stand before Him and He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." If you're here this morning, we hope you'll respond to this invitation of Jesus. As we stand together and sing the invitation song, we invite you to come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me.